You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. In Sachs, Noah, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. So I got to start with the easy. Well, maybe it's not easy. So the D line had combined, and you had three of them for six sacks for defensive linemen in the first 11 games, but you guys erupted for four on Saturday. It was the most consistent pressure. What changed against a team that doesn't give up a ton of sacks? It was a very impressive performance, specifically by the D line core. What do you feel was the difference?
I think it was really just like everybody coming together. And playing their own part. Like DBs, they really had an amazing game, and that allowed us to have a good game. And then obviously our DC calling some really good plays. So it was just like a mixture of everything. Like our coaches letting us go, and then everyone on the team having our backs as well.
So you come in, you know, you came in here last year out of the University of Virginia, also University of North Carolina, and you sign here. And, you know, a lot of guys who come in that first year, you know, kind of midway through the year like you did, you know, it kind of takes a while to get used to it. How much more comfortable have you felt this year? And what's been the biggest difference for you to getting used to being 1 yard off the ball?
Yeah, the biggest difference for me was like an extra step. So like for most of my, especially like throughout college, if I want to do this move, I'm going outside foot up and then 1, 2, 3, and then making my move, or inside foot up and then 1, 2, 3, 4, like whatever the case is. It was like my steps, and it got to a point where like I didn't even have to like think about it. I'm not in my head 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, 3, 4, just because like it became so repetitive over time. But like the yard off the ball, I have to take an extra step on, you know, certain moves. So that's been like the biggest thing, was just trying to make it so it's like secondhand nature.
Okay. And yeah, because you don't, it sounds strange, but you don't want to be thinking too much, right? You just want to be able to react in the game, especially as a D-line.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You look at like the Stampeders, you face a team, you know, in consecutive weeks and, you know, consecutive weeks in the span of like 6 days. And so is there an advantage, do you find, having gone up against the O-line 6 days earlier, that you get more used to them? Like you can watch a lot of stuff on film, but just seeing it up close and personal, is it easier that second time around for a D lineman against an O lineman, in your opinion?
It could be easier in some ways, and it could be harder, because like the same way that, yeah, we know them is the same way that they know us. Especially this is really my third time playing them, because I played against them in the preseason. So yeah, I mean, it has its advantages and it has its negative effects, obviously, just because, I mean, they watch film too. You know, I'm not the only one that's watching film, so.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. There's been some changes. Jake Ceresna out, unfortunately. Ed Hervey told us probably done for the year. You know, Robbie Smith not there. You know, two big name guys, yet the whole group stepped up. And, you know, sometimes, you know, opportunity knocks, guys got to take advantage of it, right? Did you sense that from your group? There was maybe a little bit of like, hey, some guys are going to get a few more reps here. Let's take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was what our coaches were saying all week, just that we got to answer the call. And I really just came down to just who wants it more. And in football, that is really all it is. Like, there's no, like, you know, special formula. Like, you're playing in the CFL, you're playing in the NFL. You know, if you're still playing football after college, you're good enough to be there. That's not the question. The question is just, do you have the want to get better and the want to sack the quarterback? So,
yeah, I like what you said there. I think there are some people, like, the gap to be a pro player from the NFL to the CFL is incredibly small for a lot of guys. You know, sometimes it just comes down to opportunity. Sometimes it comes down to health. And, you know, you're a young guy. You just turned 25 years of age, and which is really, you know, you kind of think about it, second year pro, like you got a lot of room to grow here and develop. Where do you feel you've taken the biggest strides from last year until this year as a professional player?
I would say, that's a good question. Maybe confidence, maybe, and just knowing how good I am and also playing like it. At the beginning of the year, obviously, like, being not getting as many snaps as I wanted to, I was definitely, like, a little down on myself. And it's, like, started, like, questioning my talent and stuff. And then, yeah, I just think confidence has played a big part later in the year, and just like realizing, like, no matter the circumstance, like, I'm still a good player and I can still play. So
Noah Taylor joins us. And you know, confidence, it's crazy how you say that, no, because a lot of people think, well, you're a professional athlete, you should always have confidence. It doesn't work that way. Like, it, yeah. You know, your brain's probably at times your toughest critic, and your it might be your toughest opponent in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Confidence is easily one of the biggest things. I've seen it, you know, all throughout my career. Just this guy, he's a really good player. You can just tell he's not, you know, he's just not going, you know. It sounds simple, but it's definitely a hard thing to do.
Noah, looking at your D-line coach, Demetrius Maxey, and, you know, I know a lot of the guys from Toronto knew him. Terminology is similar. But what have you learned from him? How has he helped you become a better pass rusher?
Yeah, he's helped me in a lot of ways, just helped me to like get going. And then he's helped with that confidence factor too. And just like, and literally, like, it sounds easy, but sometimes you just got to take the thinking out of it. You know, one of his funniest things that he says is just, it's not rocket science, you know, and it's not as hard and as difficult as people try to make it, you know, like, it's just football. You've been playing this sport forever. So you just got to, you know, just go out there and play football, just go out there and get to the quarterback. You know, it's not that hard.
Well, that's well said, right? At the end, it can be simplistic. For you, what do you feel is your biggest strength as a D lineman, as you get more comfortable, that you think you can exploit offensive linemen even more here in the final third of the season?
Yeah, I think my best thing was always how many different positions I could play on the field. That's always got coaches very happy. And you know, the different positions that I could play on the field, whether it be lined up at inside, like, especially like when we get into like our second down stuff, all the different things that I can do. I think that's like probably the best.
What is, for you, if I said, okay, no, you get to play one position, which one's your favorite?
Oh, definitely D-line, like edge rusher.
Yeah.
That's probably the most fun.
Okay, so on the outside. Now, does it matter if you're coming from the right side or the left side?
Yeah, I don't really care what side. As long as I'm out there just rushing the passer.
Okay.
I would like to have a blitzer on the inside of me, or, you know, some type of something that's just not like, you know, like a base like a four down rush, just because, you know, it puts stress on the tackle when he sees someone coming inside and stuff. So,
no, how impressed were you by, you know, you had a really young linebacking core on Saturday, right? Due to injuries to DeMorgan and obviously Nick Anderson, who I think might be coming back in the Toronto game. We'll see. But how impressed were you about that? You know, just how well your rookie linebacking core played?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. And it's not like it was a surprise, because like Brock and Joel are great players and great people. But yeah, it was definitely no surprise, because I know how good of players that they are. Like I said, it literally always just came down to, like, want to. Like, I looked at, all right, we got this guy hurt, we got this guy hurt, but we got, you know, we got guys that can fill these positions. It's just a matter of, like, are they going to? Like, are they going to? Like, they have the athletic ability to, but, like, are they going to, you know, showcase that during the game, which they did.
So, when Niles out, who kind of took charge of the huddle?
Honestly, it was a mixture. Like, the back end, it was probably you know, I heard KJ's voice, but you've been hearing him step up a lot. And then Joel, and then Brandon Barlow.
Okay.
He stepped up, like, just as every game goes on, and he's getting his confidence. So,
Noah, are you a trash talker on the field?
If you start it, then I'm going to finish it. But I will never, you know, I respect the game too much to just go out there and start talking. You know, you pushing me around and holding me and talking crazy, then I might say a little something.
Now, every defense, though, always has a few guys that are they're kind of like the engines physically, some of them verbally. Who are the guys that kind of take charge? And because it's funny, you might be a quiet guy at heart, but when you hear your other teammates, you get up. You're kind of like, okay, I like this. Now I'm into it. Who are the vocal chirpers on your defense?
Oh, man. Can I say that?
Of course. That's a good thing, man. There's nothing wrong with that.
I would say I love it when I hear KJ. He likes to talk a lot. And it's never, like, nothing bad. He's just, he talking, like, you know what I mean? He knows how good of a player he is. And then Niles, definitely. Like, Niles plays like he's always trying to kill somebody, and that always pumps me up. So,
now, what about in practice when you go up against your O-line? Who's like, because it's good, healthy competition, but who do you like going up against in practice that, like, you guys really go at it with each other?
Yeah, my favorite is Tez, just because he's, I mean, he's a really, really good offensive tackle. I mean, he has literally all the intangibles, really strong hands. He's got long arms, good feet. Yeah, I'll say to date, he's still the best tackle I've played against. So being able to go against him in practice every day makes me better.
Now, who have you gotten – you get fired up against guys in practice? Like I like the fact – Connor Halley talked about earlier on our show today. Like, there, you know, there's a little bit of pushback. I know, like, you know, McKellar kind of had enough, and I know he took a penalty, but it was funny. In hockey, when somebody takes a real aggressive penalty to protect a teammate, it seems the team always kills it off. Well, your team took that, and then they connect on an 18-yard second down and long, and they complete it 18 yards to Jackson. Did you find, like, was there a little bit more energy in your group in the game on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just, I mean, last week, if you watched the film, like, just being real, like, they played a more physical game than us. Like, they deserved to win that game, and I think we looked at the film, watched it, and said, all right, we're not going to let that happen again, and then we came out there, and we deserve to win, you know? Like, you watch some games, and it's like, all right, maybe they got away with a couple calls here, or this team came out sleeping. Like, nah, against when we played on Saturday, we were the more physical team. We deserved that win. Same thing when we played out there. They were the more physical team, and they deserved that win.
The physical element of football, it's like a lot of the times that's what it'll come down to. Obviously, you need execution, but it's hard because some games, you know, it's not like you don't want to be physical, but when another team has it, is it hard to get it back? Like, did you sense in that game, it's like, damn, like, they just got us right now, and it's hard to sometimes turn that wave in your direction?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard on the entire week of just how they out-physical does. So I think everybody went out there with an edge. Like, we had the answer. Like, our coach is literally calling us out, showing us on film to the entire team, this is not who we are. And, you know, as a man, you should. And a lot of guys did take that personally. So,
yeah, well, it clearly worked. Now, Noah, do you got a nickname on your team? Who do the guys call you?
I don't think I have a nickname. That's crazy. I've never had one. When I was in college, they called me 7 just because of my number. And it was my favorite. It is my favorite number. But trying to think of, like, maybe any jokes here and there. No, I really don't have a nickname.
So what do they just call you? They call you Taylor? They call you Noah? What do they call you in the game?
Yeah, just Noah.
Just 42. Just 42, Noah or 42. Well, geez, we'll have to. Yeah. You have to get your teammates to work on a nickname. You can't give yourself one. That's never going to work. But might have to get your teammates to get one, or the fans. Maybe we'll ask the fans to come up with one for you. So,
oh yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, Noah, continued success. Hey, your team's right in the mix now. Like, 4-1 in your last 5 games. You had talked about just your confidence personally is a lot higher than it was early in the season. I'm sensing it's from a team, and now it's, okay, we got to keep going here. You have an opportunity, you know, against Toronto, a team that obviously you'd be battling for in the crossover. You're 2 points back of Winnipeg. You're tied with BC. Like, can you just maybe talk about now how all of a sudden, like, it's more real? Like, hey, we're in the playoffs here. Like, 6 weeks ago, no one was even thinking that. But now, after going 4-1, it's a legit possibility.
Yeah, I mean, you play the first, you know, I'd say like 10, 11 games. And obviously you want to win those games, and they're serious games to win. But I guess it's not really hitting home until it's like, I remember before we played Calgary, I'm sitting in my room, like, trying to go to sleep. I can't even feel like, dog, we don't have a choice. We have to win this game. Like, we really don't have a choice. And it's just because that's the stage of the season that we're in, where, like, every single game matters. But I'm hoping, I'm not looking at it in a way of, like, we need to win this game so we can make the playoffs. Like, no, we need to beat Toronto, period, because we need to beat Toronto, you know, and that's it. So that's how I look at it. You know, that's what I'm going to stress throughout the week, is just game by game, like game by game. That's how we got to where we are, is just taking it game by game, looking over the corrections, making sure we're, you know, doing the right things, and just taking it game by game.
Awesome stuff, Noah. Thanks for joining us. Best of luck Saturday in Toronto. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good one.